Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 57 of the O Woman Podcast. And today I wanted to talk in our episode about genital juices. So kind of what's going on in that region. I've mentioned this briefly before in a previous episode where I talked about the vagina and the cervix. But there's a lot to be said for all of the lubrication or moisture that happens in that area of your body. So we'll talk specifically about women's crotches or genital regions and kind of what's going on in there. And we'll talk about all the juices that are going on during sex and how men and women both contribute to the moist environment or the wet environment down there. And that's part of, you know, normal stuff. So I wanted to start by talking about different moistures, different wetnesses, different liquids that happen in your crotchal region. So of course we all know about periods. And I've also talked before about period sex and why it's fantastic. And one of the reasons that it's fantastic is because you kind of have a little bit of added natural lubrication going on, especially if you're a person that might not make as much lube as you wish you naturally made. So that's something that's often going on in that area. But I have noticed, unless it's on my heaviest day, or heaviest days of my period, my body kind of shuts off, perioding, let's make that a verb, for sexual stuff. So that's really interesting to me. So, you know, depending, like, on if you're being, you know, if you're having sex with a man or with a woman, there's a good chance that, you know, a man is gonna get more period stuff on him than a woman because he's gonna be going deeper inside of you, probably. But still, I always feel like my body kind of just takes a break from the period and other things take precedence. Other things that go on in that area, we know about sweating. And we've talked about that also in the episode about body odors and things like that. But your crotch naturally sweats. It's supposed to sweat. It's actually one of women's sweatiest areas. Men's sweatiest areas, like usually their armpits. But women naturally have sweaty crotches. You notice that if you work out or something like that, you find an area of, you know, moisture, maybe a triangle, maybe a weird trapezoid shape, potentially on your workout clothes, you know, especially if they're tighter workout clothes, because there's not as much airflow, there's not as much evaporation going on. But it's really normal for your body to sweat in this region. And then, of course, the classic, you know, vaginal discharge, which sounds so scientific and sterile when you say it that way. But that's what it is. It's vaginal discharge. It comes out of your vagina. And I've talked about this before, too. Usually, this comes from further up inside of you than from your vagina in general. So, of course, your vagina makes some natural lubrication just all the time. That's a healthy thing. But a lot of the consistency, the liquidy stuff that we have coming out of us is a product of the fact that we are bipedal, which means we walk on 2 feet, and so gravity's going to take its toll. We're going to leak a little bit, as opposed to a lot of our four-legged relatives don't have a discharge if they're females because there's not so much gravity going on there. But a lot of the discharge, or a lot of what is in the discharge, can come from... Some of it can come from the cervix region. So there's like a cervical mucus that's naturally made that is supposed to be, that area is supposed to be like that. And it comes off of that. And somewhat out of the uterus a little bit, you know, which the cervix is really the bottom section of that. So you get some of it from that area, but then you also have natural everyday lubrication from your vagina, keeping things healthy, keeping your pH in balance, keeping all of the good bacteria in that section of your body growing the way it's supposed to be growing and fighting off bad bacteria. It's all related to the discharge. And as I've said before, when the vagina is putting out lubrication, whether it's sexual or just normal. It comes, it like the walls of the vagina kind of sweat, which is really cool. Now, when you're thinking about your discharge, let's start thinking a little bit more about when you're turned on. So when you're interested in having sex with someone, we all know that you become more lubricated. That's a natural thing. And part of the reason for that is so that if you're going to have intercourse, your body is going to enjoy it and not be harmed from it. That's why consensual sex and non-consensual sex, there's a big difference in it. If you do a rape kit, you examine someone, you can tell that, you know, the woman has, in most cases, you can tell that she's had, you know, sex that wasn't consensual, because, which in my opinion shouldn't be called sex. It should be called rape, because that's what it is. But you can tell because she has some, you know, some problems going on in her vagina from that situation. She's got maybe some abrasions or different things like that. There's different signs that show that kind of a thing. But in most other cases, I mean, of course you can still be raped, and, you know, your vagina can still not be scarred. You know, it depends on the situation. But, and in many cases, you know, the vagina is lubricating itself so that if a penis is going to go inside of it, it's enjoyable for both partners, especially, in my opinion, for the woman, because it's, you know, dry sex is not a fun thing. If you think about a penis going into a dry vagina, that sounds painful. Ugh, it sounds really painful. So, as far as how much lubrication you're making, there's such a variation among women. The amounts vary based on your hormones in your body. They're based on your emotions. They vary based on your emotions. So this has to do with how into it you are. Not only, but to some degree. If you're, you know, really into something, you're going to be more lubricated than if you're not really into something, you know, sexually. And then, of course, everybody has a different baseline lubrication level. Some people naturally lubricate more than others, and that's just something you have to know about your own body. Interestingly, diet can be related to this, too. What you're eating, what kinds of things you're drinking, also how hydrated you are, definitely can affect how much you naturally lubricate. And the color and, like, the texture of your lubrication depends on where you are in your cycle sometimes. Usually, most lubrication from being sexually turned on is like a clear, whitish kind of consistency that's almost like a raw egg, almost. So it's thinner than, you know, mucus, really, the kind of mucus we think of that comes out of our nasal cavity. But it is a mucus, because a lot of it is a cervical mucus, too, and, you know, a vaginal lubrication. A lot of those are all kind of mixed in together. Now, in general, women's natural lubrication goes down as they get older. It's related to hormones, too. And it also goes down while they're nursing, which I think is interesting, because you think about how a lot of people say nursing is a pretty good option for not getting pregnant. Usually women's bodies don't like to get pregnant when they're nursing. There's different hormones still kind of going on in their body, and that helps prevent that. And it also makes sense, too, if you think about if a woman's not going to naturally lubricate as much when she's nursing, it's kind of a sign like, hey, stay away from the crotch. We're trying not to get pregnant, you know? And of course, I'm not saying you have to stay away from the crotch. It's up to you and your partner, but that's an interesting sort of biological thing that I thought maybe could make some sense. Now, there's usually a difference between your natural lubrication when you're ovulating and when you're not. Apparently, when you're ovulating, the lubrication is whiter and more stringy. So if you're interested in doing a science experiment about this, I would recommend kind of checking that out. If you keep track of when you ovulate, then you should just check and see. I think that would be neat to see really the boundaries, the ups and downs of your vaginal lubrication. Just, it would be cool for you to check that out just so you know more about your body. Because really, come on. It's awesome to just know more and more about your body every day. That's the ideal thing, is to know everything, which we can't know. But it's fun to try, right? When I talk about how hormones are related to your natural lubrication, the two hormones that are the most related are estrogen and progesterone. But particularly estrogen is the hormone that is the most linked to having enough lubrication, or, you know, feeling like you have enough lubrication. So if you're having issues with lubrication, you could always think about that. I know one of my friends has talked about how on birth control, she feels like she doesn't lubricate as naturally as well as when she is off of birth control. And that makes sense because you're changing your hormone levels with birth control. And depending on what birth control you're using, it probably has estrogen in it. It might just be progesterone, but it's more likely that it has both. And so if you're thinking about that and you want a new option, think about your birth control choices. If you think that could be related to not feeling like you're naturally lubricating enough. And I also did an episode on that, what kind of birth control is going to be the best for you. So check that out and see if anything else is going to fit better for you and, you know, the sexual experience that you want. Now, in addition to having just the natural lubrication going on in your vagina just in the everyday, so a little bit of cervical mucus, just natural stuff going on, when you get turned on, there are these glands that are right inside of the vaginal opening that are right there that really help with mucus secretion when you're sexually aroused. And those are called the Bartholin glands. And so I believe there's two of them, and they're kind of right inside your vagina, and they really help with that lubrication. So this is something that happens, but please keep in mind that when you're turned on, your vagina literally kind of sweats. Also, the entire length of it kind of sweats and lubricates from that way, too. Because originally they thought that it came just from these glands, you know. But it doesn't. That's related to it, but it's not the only way that you naturally lubricate. So we've talked about women's lubrication. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about men's lubrication. I was trying to look up the average amounts of women's lubrication, you know, when they're turned on. And you can't find a number for that because it's not something that really you externalize. You kind of keep it inside of you. And then you might leak a little bit, but it's hard to tell. Who's that from? Is that from me? From him? So I couldn't find that. But I could find information about how much men ejaculate on a regular basis, like usually. And this to me seems so, such a small amount of semen. Men, usually, it depends on the man, somewhere between 1/4 of a teaspoon and 1 teaspoon, and 1 teaspoon is how much they ejaculate each time they have intercourse. To me, that seems like such a small amount. I was telling my husband about it, and we were in the kitchen, and he walked over to the teaspoon, we have a little hanging rack for for measuring things, and he was like, really? That seems like not much. And then we were like, well, wait a minute. When you think about it, if you actually kind of isolate it, if it's in a condom and you look at it afterwards, you think, that's actually not as much as you would think it is. It feels like it's more for both people, I feel like, usually. But it's not all that much. And just to think about how many sperm are actually in that, it's unreal imagining how many there are crammed into that little amount of liquid, 1/4 of a teaspoon to a teaspoon. So considering that men ejaculate not as much as I thought, it really caused me to think a lot about when you're having sex, and when you're having heterosexual sex, you know, unprotected heterosexual sex, if you're with a partner that you trust, that you know about, that you've been tested with, etc. And so you're not using a barrier method for birth control, like a condom or something like that, then your juices are going to mix together, inevitably, of course. And a lot of the reason why you might be doing that is because you want them to mix together. Maybe you want a baby, maybe not, maybe you just like it better. I mean, I do. A lot of people do. But when they're mixed together, you kind of don't know who is providing as much liquid. Because as a woman, you leak afterwards. And I usually go pee. I think that's really important that you go pee. It, you know, cleans off that area. It's a really smart move. My mother always told me to do that. And I think that's a great thing to stick to. But as a woman, you go and you pee. And I usually kind of sit on the toilet for a little while, hang out after, you know, I'm done laying around or whatever. And gravity takes over, of course, and I leak. And I'm thinking, it's usually not like a dripping situation, but, you know, you need multiple wipings of paper towel, of toilet paper, to, you know, to make that happen. And sometimes it's a leaking situation. Sometimes, 20 minutes later, you'll be like, whoa, I'm leaking. How did that happen? It was kind of hanging out deeper inside. But I was like, I think most of this lubrication is for me. When you think about it, 1 teaspoon of, you know, ejaculation, plus a tiny little bit maybe of pre-cum, the rest of it has got to be me. So I was originally under the impression that it was mostly men, mostly their liquid that was kind of coming out of me afterwards. I really don't think it is. I think it's mostly me. And this makes sense, you know, thinking about how when you're really turned on, you can get really, really lubricated. So depending on the situation, it makes sense that it could be you, because you know how lubricated you are kind of on the outside and kind of right, you know, at the opening of your vagina. But you don't really know how lubricated you are deep inside. You don't know that. You can't check it out and look in there. So you don't really know all that's floating around in there. And since we know that vaginas lubricate through most of their length, you know, from the walls of the vagina, it makes sense that there's a lot going on inside that you didn't really know about. I also wanted to throw out there a couple fun facts about males and orgasms and ejaculation. An ejaculation for a male and an orgasm for a male doesn't have to coincide, which I thought was neat. Some men don't actually ejaculate until a few seconds after they have an orgasm. So I just didn't know that. I think that's a really cool thing. So if you're having sex with a man, it would be cool to think about next time, like trying to listen when you think he's going to having one based on his noises, and then actually when you can tell based on how you're feeling, what's going on with him. So that was just a cool little bit of information I wanted to share with you. Now, I also want to talk about other genital juices, like the ones you introduce to the region that are not naturally there. So not vaginal lubrication, not pre-cum or ejaculation. So the other ones. So there's saliva, which isn't really artificial. It's just not naturally in that region. And there's a lot to be said for saliva, particularly with oral sex situation and how much that actually helps lubricating the area. So if you're having issues with lubrication, or you feel like there's not as much as you would like, and you don't want to reach out to, you know, KY jelly or whatever, I would always say start with saliva. Both of you guys, you know, 69 or something like that, and just see what happens from there. Because chances are that's going to turn you on even more, and that could help with the situation. But if you're realizing that you're not lubricating as much as you want, even when you're extremely turned on, try saliva first, because it's the easiest thing to deal with. It's the easiest thing to get. You don't have to, like, open up a bottle, squirt anything out. It's pretty simple. It's right there. And it's also another very sexual aspect, you know, obviously. And it could be part of your foreplay. Other lubrications that are not, I wouldn't consider artificial either, but are still introduced, for example, are different oils, like natural oils, which is what, when my husband and I have used it, it's been, you know, what I'm trying to think of, we don't use lubrication that much, but when we do, it's usually either olive oil or coconut oil. And coconut oil, it really only melts when it gets to be warmish. So your body heat is warm enough to melt it, versus olive oil is constantly in its more melted state, or usually constantly in its more melted state. But room temperature, coconut oil might harden up, which is okay. You just need to kind of massage it between your hands and get it to loosen up. The thing about coconut oil is it smells a lot better, and it's a natural antibacterial in a good way. It's not going to, like, mess with your vagina. At least it never has with me. I'm not a medical doctor. I can't say for sure. But it has never done any sort of weird stuff. It's a very simple, calming, antibacterial, moisturizing cream. Totally edible. Good for your skin. So think about that. That's what we've used. Same thing with olive oil. But olive oil makes you feel a little bit more like an Italian salad. Just because it has a stronger... it has a stronger flavor, it has a stronger smell, and it has a more obvious color. It's more yellow, you know, or green when you think about coconut oil. Looks are just kind of like your skin glistening, or, you know, natural lubrication. So those are two things that I encourage you to think about, because they're going to be better for your system overall, in my opinion, than some of the things you can buy. But as always, do what works the best for you. And think about buying some lubrication too. Usually you buy, you know, a water-based lube, and it's soluble and it washes away and it feels normal. You know, usually it's just cold at first, which is kind of annoying. But after that, it feels pretty regular. It feels pretty, pretty much like it came from that area in the first place. So that's my little overview today for genital juices, kind of what's going on in that area. Hopefully this gave you some information about your crotch, because we all need more information about our crotch. And as always, I love talking with you guys. Thanks for listening so much. And just wanted to remind you really fast, as always, to check out the Facebook page, O Woman Podcast. Like the Facebook page. Go subscribe on iTunes. Please do that. And please rank the episodes. Give me some stars so iTunes knows that this is a real thing. Come on, do it. And please check out the website, which, if you miss any episodes, we're on episode 57 today, and we started at episode 1. I would say we, but it's just me. I started at episode 1. So go back and check out the page that's called Episode Archives, and you'll see every single one, the title of everyone, a link to everyone, and you don't have to download if you don't want to. You can just press play right there on the website and listen right there. So do that. Email me too, emma@owomanpodcast.com, if you have questions, thoughts, ideas, anything. So I love talking with you guys, and I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye.